that you would like to talk about it, Jan?
We haven't finished the Chittasika. So now all seven Chittasikas arise together, not just follow one another. Right together. Just it's conditioned to arise, each one, but they arise together with citta.
But just one last confirmation. During the three phases of that mind moment, there are three phases, right? So the function are performed not in different three phases, but in the very beginning of the phases of the mind moment. Am I clear? Each mind moment has a rising state and then falling away, the three phases.
All citta and chittasikas.
For both.
Not only citta.
Huh?
Chittasikas have three phases.
When we talk about citta, it includes chittasikas every time.
Right. Right.
Arise together, fall away together.
Okay.
Vincent's question is the functions that the chittasikas perform, although they arise at the same instant as the citta, do they perhaps perform their function at different stages of the arising and falling away of the citta? Yes, that's his question.
How can there be many stages in one citta?
We were talking about the three phases of the citta, right?
The upada, arising, didi, and bhanga.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why naturally I was thinking, is it possible basa has to be in the first stage or first phase of the citta? No, it has to be all together.
Forget completely about the three phases. We're talking about citta and chaitasikas arising together at the same instant, and all those citta and chaitasikas arise, have their arising exactly together at the same moment, instantaneously.
Right.
So
yeah, it's purely intellectual. So
that's
it's purely just not.
It's right. Wrong track. Yeah, it's so because they arise together, perform their functions together, fall away together. Exactly together.
You would very much like to find a possible explanation for the functions being performed in a particular order.
Right, but not that curious anyway, so I can drop it. So, but I take it the answer, they all right up together. Right, that's something much more important. So,
is that an explanation you've heard put forward? The functions of the Jetta Seekers occurring in a specific order?
No.
No.
Just
your own idea.
Right, just curious.
Can chittasika arise alone?
No. Probably you heard, for example, where the text talk about with contact there's feeling, something like that. So you got the impression that it's contact first and then feeling. Not really, but that's okay.
Without studying the details, when people just study one or two suttas, like sometimes they do in, when, for example, in other settings, if they just choose certain suttas, if they don't study the details, the Abhidhamma, or they don't consider the commentaries, there will always be a wrong idea, such as an order of chaitasikas arising, and they read Paticca Samuppada and think it's 1-1-1, and everything confused and mixed up and no understanding at all about dhammas as anatta. So that's why the details are important.
Can the chaitasika which has fallen away arise again? That one, that particular one.
Agree.
The question was, can a chittasika that has fallen away arise again, the same chittasika?
The exact same one, or loba arise and fall away?
No, the loba, loba now falls away. Can that loba ever arise again?
Never return. Return with different degree. I mean, there's another loba, but it's not the same loba anymore. Right, right.
So the answer is just no.
No, right.
So this is the meaning of kanda. Each reality arises, forms its function, falls away, never to appear again, never to arise again, completely gone.
Okay.
We learn to understand this little by little so that one day this happening will be experienced directly. By then, there is no self at all. It cannot be anything which can be taken for self.
Sarah, can you explain? Give a reason why the three stages of the rise of the citta and cetasikas are mentioned. Why they talk about the three stages?
Well, just to point out that there are different phases of citta and cetasika, and sometimes it's significant because sometimes, for example, one can talk about citta conditioning rupas at a particular phase, at the arising moment, for example, and also it indicates more about the detail of citta. But Ajahn would give a more detailed answer.
One moment of citta, right? We think about one, how short it is. It's not that much short, much more than that. See, at moment of arise, and the moment which fall away, not the same face. And there is also another one, which is not the arising and falling. So there are three phases. Because the rupa arises at the moment when citta arises, the first phase.
And also,
while the kama rupa, kama charupa, arises at each of it.
Is it also
three phases.
Because in the case of rupa, we know that the rupas in the first phase are weak, in the middle are strong, and then weak again. Is that the same things applies to citta?
No, I think that the first moment and the last moment for rupa, see, and in between, that can be experienced.
Detail goes deeper and deeper, so it seems unimportant that it's at the first moment of citta that rupa is produced. But then when we start considering more details about citta rupas, it becomes more significant. And then when we say that rupa lasts as long as 70 moments of citta, well, actually it lasts as long as 3 times 17 moments of phases of citta, so it's just more and more fine the detail.
So just to clarify with that, Ajahn, that when rupa arises at the moment that there is experience in the sense door process, its strength is just the same from beginning to end.
The truth cannot be changed at all, no matter when.
Then I'm perhaps thinking also during the jhāvana process, in the first moment, during after watapana, the first one is weak, cursed, and then the next five are strongest, and then the last seven, or the last number, or the number seven is weaker, stronger than the first, but weaker than the second to five. How come that is?
It's just the first and it's the last. Mm. It's not as strong because it's not conditioned by the other. For example, the first jhavana is conditioned by the last one, the previous one has fallen away, and then the first javana arise, and the second one is stronger because asevana pachaya.
The first one, it just follows the kriya citta by anantara pachaya. It's the next one in order, but the second javana citta, not only is it conditioned by anantara pachaya at that moment, it's also conditioned by asevana, which means repetition condition. So the javanas condition each other by repetition, so it's like it accelerates or it increases in strength by that condition.
And why is the last one weak?
Because it's...
It's run out of
because it's not asevana pachaya for the next other one. Next one. Oh, no more. No more.
It's the last one. And when we talk about
The first phase of citta only is conditioning rupa, can one say it's because the first phase is stronger or not?
Because the arising of citta is stronger.
Stronger. So that's another aspect of the
three phases, that the first phase is stronger.
At moment when it can arise, see, it's stronger.
Okay, we were talking yesterday about buddhanusati and metta and maranasati as daily life topics, so it can be anytime, anywhere, if there are conditions. And another one is recollection on foulness, asubha. And in this text, because I had a... when I was walking with Ajahn, we mentioned yogi and yoga, and it says this set of four meditations, which is guarded by the yogi, are called the meditation subjects on all occasions. And could you say a little more about what is meant by the yogi, Ajahn, here?
Actually, it means virya.
Virya,
right? So the one who has virya.
Yes.
So
this is in Pali, yogi. Yogi is virya. Yep.
Are we yogi at moment of eating?
No.
No. Can the yogi, a yogi, be a yogi while that yogi is eating?
Moderation?
Not that moment. Because citta is not a yogi.
I don't follow it, John.
Okay.
In Pali it says yoga vachara, I think. I think in the text the commentary speaks about yoga vachara. Yoga vachara. And I think it can be just the one who develops understanding also.
I think it's referring to virya, and of course it's virya with understanding and awareness.
It's for samatha bhavana as well as vipassana bhavana.
Any moment citta is citta, never change. With panya or without panya, akusala or kusala, what degree?
But yogi, the word yogi applies to both. The word yogi applies both to samatha
to
and...
to moment of citta. While a yogi... is watching, is that yogi? But yogi for satipatthana, no matter when satipatthana arrives.
Okay.
So when it talks here about, for example, these four buddhanusati and so on as guarded by the yogi, what does it mean?
Any moment of understanding and thinking about the virtues of Buddha. It's there is virya with right understanding.
So it's just the virya with the right understanding at that moment.
And it goes on, they should be guarded by the power of thorough comprehension uninterruptedly. And with regard to sati samatha, calm is mentioned because of being included in the group of concentration samadhi. So like we said, the uninterruptedly, well, it can be just by conditions, then this may be the object again and again. And so
like now is different from the other moment when one is alone, nothing to do, no discussion. It can be moment of that by condition.
Yes. Can you repeat it, Sarah? I didn't get it.
So like now there may be wise reflection on Dharma or metta or another object by conditions. Yeah. So at that moment there is virya, and at that moment virya is guarding with sati and panya, different from other moments when if one's somewhere else and there's no wise reflection.
Yes.
So any time. And with regard to sati samatha, calm is mentioned because of being included in the group of concentration samadhi. So we know that, for example, if we're talking about the Eightfold Path, that right awareness, right effort, right concentration are the calm of the Eightfold Path. But here we're talking about samatha and sati, and samatha being included in the samadhi group. Would you say a little more about that?
Because it's not right understanding of the nature of reality.
Right, okay. So anyway, it's gone, but this was about
the meaning of yogi.
Because it depends on citta to be yogi or not yogi.
It's another example of
a word, a common word, which the Buddha used and gave particular meaning to, relating to kusala jitas at this moment.
Because usually when there is no understanding carefully, we think that a yogi is like a hermit in Thai.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is, yogi is, and probably the same
before in Sanskrit, as an idea of someone living alone or something.
Mm-hmm. In the
a bit like the idea of Vibeka.
Yes.
From to yoke, to join in the sense, to join with kusala or to join with wisdom, but if it's just a name, it doesn't mean anything really. Mm-hmm. So it always has to be, as you said, Ajahn, has to be with the quality of citta.
Yes.
It's
the quality of virya too.
Virya, it's not meaning yoked, it's
yoked
virya. It's virya itself, the cheetah seeker.
Are you joking? Don't have to be named, but it's there. At moment of developing right understanding by itself, by conditions. Because from hearing there is virya as parami.
So at the moment of having right understanding, or also
virya which strives for understanding more, like now we think about the meaning of yogi and yoga.
Right. That I understand. What about other forms of kusala? Okay, not just occasional.
Yeah, whether that person has the foundation of understanding of samatha or vipassana or not.
Samatha or vipassana, mm-hmm. But with panya in both cases.
Right.
Ajahn, in that context, then, would worry be, is that related particularly to the samapadanas, which we were talking about yesterday?
Samapatthana has to do with the understanding of the vipassana.
Okay. So I'm
even
still
from now, mm-hmm. Virya, mm-hmm. keep on going.
Mm-hmm. Still, I'm curious why Virya is specified as opposed to other chet seekers.
Because its function is Virya. Pasa cannot do that.
Maybe there's more to the meaning of yogi than just yoked. Can you check? Because the yogi, as we conventionally understand, is someone who strives to, strive. Yeah.
I've read it specified as being virya, but I'm also interested because usually we talk about the guarding being the function of sati, so here I'm wondering why the guarding is by virya.
What about guarding without virya?
Impossible, so it's...
It just doesn't develop more.
Yeah, okay. So it's just stressing that the guarding, which is by sati, is much more with...
It's there. Yeah, it's there. But the yogi is the... Which virya. Is virya.
Ayumi. For guarding the sense doors, there has to be virya.
It is sati, but without virya, can it progress?
No, but panya. Panya.
At that moment, many chetasikas, we talk about just one at a time.
Yes, yeah.
To know the difference between them.
Yes.
Sati is not panya, and sati is not virya, and virya is yogi.
Mm-hmm. And you said if there's sati without virya, can it progress?
Sati, without virya, can it progress? Can it develop sati?
And I think Lina was saying, what about panya?
Yes, it's there. Do we have to talk about all jetasika? We talk about just one at a time. As yogi, it's virya. And we talk about sati, another term.
And when you say progress of what?
Develop, understanding.
It is understanding which terms.
Right. Without virya, can it be?
No, that's with other jetasikas. Without.
Then we have to talk all about jetasika, the wholesome jetasikas. But when we use the term yogi, see, it means that person who has virya.
And so if you were translating this passage that went about yogi, you would just say guarded by the one with virya or guarded by virya to make it clear.
It does say here... Yeah, in relation to what you're saying, Ajahn Yogi is one who, well, it does say one who practices spiritual exercise. So I can see how, or also yoga is endeavor. Yeah.
Is this translated as the meditator?
It depends on who's translating.
Actually, Nina, you translated it here as the practitioner.
Yogi is the practitioner, but I think one has to stress the virya. Yeah.
That's most people think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You mean that gives misunderstandings, practitioner,
yes.
But they're translated that way.
I think one has to
stress the virya aspect, otherwise it's misleading. Actually, no practitioner. Mm-hmm. No practice, no practitioner.
No practitioner, yeah.
Otherwise, if we talk about a practitioner,
it's like someone who's practicing this kind of samatha.
One who makes a big effort.
Oh, we can say effort.
Better just to forget about the one altogether and just talk about Virya.
There sometimes need to refer to the individual, so that's why there's no actual term in English, apart from the striver. But,
What about the yogi in the forest? Wrong virya. But for the right understanding, no matter where, even in the forest of our bodhisattva, or what kind of life?
What about in the forest as a condition for attaining upachara samadhi, apana samadhi?
Only in the forest or when time comes, when conditions are proper?
Yes, but as I think in some texts, maybe Visuddhimagga, some place they talk about getting away from...
Because usually sound is the opposite of the development of
samatha.
I think it's not so much being in the forest as being away from other distractions, sound, people, villages, etc. But that only becomes significant, as Ajahn said, when the samatha has been developed to a certain degree. It's not the condition for the beginning level of development.
Are we now yoga vajra?
No.
Why not?
Wandering mind.
No understanding?
Just thinking about other things, about that I have to pay, or things like that. I was thinking of that.
I see.
So no yogi.
But at moment of considering wisely on Dhamma.
Considering wisely. So while thinking, this can be considered.
It depends.
Wisely.
So they are citta and citta-sikas, no one at all.
Yeah. So even while thinking, but we are so absorbed when thinking, so forgetful.
Correctly, rightly, on Dhamma, of what? Thinking.
Thinking about all different things, but not Dhamma.
So it's not yoga vajra.
No, I know. So the answer is no.
Yeah.
At other moments,
We don't know.
Like now.
Right now, when you are asking me.
Yes. And you're talking. Yes.
And while I'm talking or thinking about your questions, a little moment of considering rightly.
So the term yoga vajra is very common. Any moment.
What is so common?
When it's on the way to develop more and more understanding.
Yes.
But for those who haven't heard about the teachings, they cannot be yoga vajra.
No. It's a good question, though, to remind us. We welcome your questions.
As we are talking about jetasikas, shall we choose another one?
Yes. What?
Sati.
Okay. Yeah. Sati arises with each moment of kusala, citta, and kriya, citta, which is accompanied by hetu. That's why we use the word sopana cetasika. Sati can be the cause and sati can be the result of the karma which is accompanied by sati.
It can be the cause potential of the karma, accompanied by sati.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think of that.
That is the cause, right, karma? And that cause can condition sati, which is vipaka, just the result. So sati, which is vipaka, is not like sati, which is kusala.
Yes.
Or kriya of arahata.
When one is born, the patisandhicitta can mm-hmm. be accompanied. Well, for us humans, it's accompanied by sati.
Mm-hmm. So it's
which is vipaka.
Just being conditioned by that karma, that's all, for a moment.
And then all the bhavanga chittas
to perform its function as vipaka.
Usually we talk about sati's function and preventing akusala, for example. So at those moments of vipaka, those moments of bhavanga chitta, when it's just a moment of result, what is the function of sati there?
Just be conditioned by the karma.
That's
all. So it's not like sati with kusala.
Has the function of being aware on the object.
Whenever it arises.
So even when it's bhavanga, it's aware of the object.
It has that characteristic and function.
I think it's sometimes described as being not forgetful of the object, right. Is that right? Yes.
Not forgetful of what?
Of the object.
Right now.
And so that's really what awareness means. So, and that helps us to understand the difference between awareness, say, and panya.
Satindriya. It's moment of being able to arise to understand the reality which appears. So satindriya always arises with panya.
But they are different. The awareness
without
and panya.
There is kusala of dana and sila without panya. There is the of that level.
But the function of awareness is
awareness to give.
Yes. So awareness performs its function even when there's no panya,
right.
When there's just
like
ordinary kusala, yes.
Yeah.
And Nina was referring to a patisandhi, and we're talking about patisandhi with and without sati. So just to review, because I always forget probably because I don't really understand, the 19 kinds of patisandhi. The first kind is the akusala vipaka, santirana patisandhi. So this is the result of unwholesome akusala karma and will condition rebirth in the woeful realm or animal realm, for example. And so of course no sati with the patisandhi. And the next is the kusala vipaka santirana citta. So this is result of kusala karma, but it's very weak kusala vipaka and no roots. If it's rebirth in the human realm, then handicap from birth moment and so on. And I think can there also be this kind of rebirth in a deva realm also?
Yes.
I think so, also a rootless one. And I don't know about how it manifests in a deva realm.
Might be not as beautiful as all dhammas or devas.
Because it's not a matter of being handicapped, but just an ugly
just
deva.
Just a little bit.
A little bit or something.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, we look like
a
human being.
And then there are the 8 Mahavipaka patisandhi chittas, which are result of kusala karma, and there are in human realm 2 or 3 roots, and sati is there because it's result of kusala karma, and So it's stronger kusala karma that has conditioned this kind of vipaka, and also in deva realms and so on. And the difference between the eights depends on whether it's two or three roots. And then there are the eight kinds of patisandhi conditioned by different kinds of kusala, and the difference is because two or three roots with pleasant feeling or indifferent feeling, so the patisandhi and all the bhavangas can be with pleasant or indifferent feeling, and with or without wisdom, and asankarika or sasankarika, and of course all of this is completely unknown. It's just showing that there are different kinds of patisandhi, and these can also be in deva realms. And then there is the patisandhi, which is the result of rupa vajrajitas and the arupa vajrajitas. And I mean, when I'm saying it, it's really just kind of memory, but there's not really any meaningful reflection or understanding, except just to know that different kinds of patisandhi by different causes, and the patisandhi in this life is different from the patisandhi in the animal realm and different from the patisandhi in the Brahma, and that is a condition for different kinds of cittas to arise during the lifetime, and the condition for different kinds of karma to bring result during that lifetime, because as we said, the patisandhi contains all the karma that can bring about results during that life, the ayuhana. Anything else to say about it?
Just like now, we have different patisandhi citta, different characteristics. The leader is the stronger, the follower is a sasankarika, usually.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can you repeat this?
We have these two terms, asankarika, sometimes it's translated as unprompted, which is stronger, and sasankarika, which is misleading, translated as prompted, means weaker because it needs encouragement and so on. So Ajahn was suggesting that someone who is a leader may be because of asankarika, patisandhi, whereas the weaker one, sasankarika, is the follower.
Yes.
So just differences in patisandhi, difference in accumulations throughout life, differences in karma bringing results during life. So it's all just to show that all the different conditions and why different kinds of cittas, we were talking about the different bhumis, arise during life and why it has to be like this, and just different dharmas arising by different conditions, all anatta. Yeah. Like Azita was saying at lunchtime, one can see different accumulations, but when one knows it's accumulations and dharmas, then that's it. Nothing to be disturbed about, nothing to mind about.
So what's the patisandhi citta of the Buddha? One moment. One kind of vipaka.
Sorry.
Birth consciousness?
Yes.
What is? Yes, but they are different.
Yeah. So definitely the asankarika with pleasant feeling and with panya,
right,
for sure.
Yes. And we cannot change the patisandhi citta. Yeah. And also all the bhavanga cittas during life cannot be changed. And I think it influences all our whole life, the bhavanga cittas, what they are like. Could you say a little more on it?
No one can tell exactly, but we can see from what happens in daily life.
Yeah.
The hero, what about patisandhi citta? And the one who just follow the others anytime, to anywhere, they cannot go alone. Just with that person, not without anyone, even to go or to do or whatever.
You mean it depends on his patisandhi? It depends on his patisandhi and bhavangachitas.
We cannot tell, but we can see the different character of people, different people.
Yeah, that's
so
it.
So we can think that it's the result of that karma, which is with pleasant feeling and asankarika.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have just simply attributed that to accumulations, different accumulations of kusla and akusla. And taking different objects by pakatupani sevachaya. And I'm also a bit confused about what Nina just mentioned, how that the bhavanga chittas also influence. Can you say more? How does the patisanti chitta and the bhavanga chitta determine what kind of a person?
Just
is?
One kind of chitta, which performs the function of patisanti, performs the function of
bhavanga. And how does that influence the character of a person?
We cannot say of each moment, but we can see in general. The one who cannot do anything by oneself and the one who is brave enough.
The one who is?
Brave enough.
Brave.
Yeah.
A hero. Like you said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the leader, or
leader.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I think it makes sense that the karma that conditions the rebirth can also condition the behavior of the person in the lifetime. But of course, accumulated tendencies also have a bearing. Yeah. But there may be a lot of accumulated tendencies, only some of which are going to manifest in a particular lifetime. So a person may exhibit one personality in one lifetime and a different personality in another lifetime, depending on the karma that conditioned the rebirth.
And it's like the two or three roots thing. One can't say whether it's two or three roots, but if someone shows a lot of understanding, for example, then one has an idea. So it's just similar to that, I think.
As much as we can say.
It's just speculation anyway, so it's not as though there's any importance to be placed on it. But
it helps us to see more and more so many different factors that condition the citta each moment and not self. The essence is that it is not self, that the Buddha pointed out. So this detail about the patisandhi citta and the bhavanga citta that also condition the citta now, and other factors, accumulations, helps us to see that it is not self.
One question I have is, so we say, for example, that the patisandhi citta, the ayuna, refers to all the karma that has been accumulated that can produce results during that lifetime. But of course, all the karma forever have been accumulated in that patisandhi, but not all ready to bring result in that lifetime. So actually, all the karma has been accumulated, but the ayuna is just referring to those ones that will produce results in that lifetime only. But actually, everything is there.
Otherwise, who can tell about the vipanga in one's life?
And the Buddha, with his wisdom, could know exactly what was ready at that moment in birth, what kind of patisandhi it is, and what would bring results during life for anyone.
Yeah, and this is Buddhanusati.
Buddhanusati.
We don't have to sit and recite.
And this is the omniscience of the Buddha, to be able to know exactly all those details for anyone he met and exactly what karma would bring result in life.
Well, you and I can make a fair guess if we talk to someone with strong wrong view, and after hearing a lot of Dharma, that he's probably born with two roots. So I don't think it's... but the Buddha would know better, because... But I'm not sure if it's knowing the citta, the patisandhi citta.
In the Buddha's case, he would
know directly exactly what the citta is, what the details are, what the results would be. That's why he could talk about it, what the accumulation is, what the anusya at that moment, what the karma is, what karma is ayuhana, ready to bring results, whatever he put his mind to.
No and doubt. The accumulation of such and such habits in one's life.
Yeah, I think it's also helpful because instead of thinking of a person with two roots, you just think about the two roots and don't think about much about the person, because you just think about the reality which we take for person. But if you think about Bhavanga Citta with two roots, it's not so easy to see a person, I think. I don't know. I think it's easier to see the anatta-ness of realities than thinking about like a person with wrong view. Or
yeah. So it's not just a question of thinking in terms of roots. It's just thinking about somebody being like this or like that. This person has understanding, that person has does not have understanding. But it depends again on the understanding, right? When we do talk about another person as being this or that, it's going to be different from when the Buddha talks, because the Buddha would be talking about realities.
And who knows whether there would be tomorrow? This is Morana Sati.
I'd like to hear more about that. I don't get it, the connection.
Who knows whether there will be tomorrow?
Because
death can come any moment, any time. Yeah, yeah. So we don't even know if we will listen to the next part of the discussion or anything. Yeah. Because you would like to hear about?
All seven? We have talked all seven. Which one would you like to know about? The seven? The seven jitasikas? Or what? Have we finished?
Ajahn, let's talk about panya. Pananjali. Oh, would you say one of the seven?
Yes. One of the seven. Have we finished?
No.
We haven't talked about Jivitendri yet, I don't believe.
No, we haven't talked. Yeah, so we can talk about that before other jetasika. And what do you think?
Yeah.
Feeling?
Yes,
we did talk a little bit about
Somanasa, pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling can arise with appreciation of the other people's good deeds or their panya, and immediately they can be clinging with pleasant feeling to that pleasant feeling. So for me, pleasant feeling is very confusing because it seems to stay for a while, but it doesn't. I know that in theory. So I think it's good to think more about that, consider it more.
What we know is that feeling arises with each citta, that's all. It can arise with vipaka citta, kusala citta, akusala citta, abhyagata citta.
Yes.
Can we talk about conditions being different for kusala with pleasant feeling and kusala with neutral feelings?
Vipaka is moment after death, after birth, right? Moment of birth is not known, no matter what feeling is there. The feeling at moment of pavanka is not known. So at moment of kusala or akusala can be known.
And you just now mentioned rejoicing in other people's kusala is with pleasant feeling. And Nina was mentioning kusala with pleasant feeling, and I was thinking, but kusala can arise with neutral feelings too.
Right.
So I was wondering whether these two arise by particular conditions, there's different conditions. One
by the cetasika which accompany, like akusala citta or akusala cetasika or kusala cetasika. Makes the feeling pleasant, different.
No, when it's kusala, it can be with pleasant feeling.
Yes,
or neutral feeling.
It can be lower.
What's the difference other than feeling in terms of?
That's why we have to talk about different jittas. For those, pleasant feeling cannot rise with it. But for kusala and akusala, pleasant feeling can arise.
Right. And neutral feeling can arise.
Right. Neutral feeling cannot arise together with pleasant feeling.
No, different moments. Some kusala is with, let's talk about dana. Mm-hmm. Dana sometimes is with pleasant feeling, mm-hmm. sometimes is with neutral feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, do these depend on particular conditions?
Many conditions. Just a moment.
And it's not like for some people it's always dana with pleasant feeling.
No, not at all. We forget that we cling to feeling so much.
Yes.
That's why when we talk about feeling, we don't know that it's so very important.
Yes.
People just look for pleasant feeling, clings very much, strive to have it. See, all life, all in one's life. So it's very important. It's there just for pleasant feeling. No matter moment of seeing, tasting, touching, hearing, thinking. So it's one khanda, one of the five khandas. Rupa is so great that everyone clings to it. If nothing arises at all, no clinging, no ignorance, but when whatever arises out of ignorance, because of ignorance, clinging is there immediately. So there can be moha, mulacitta, without clinging, without lopa, moha, mulacitta, alone, without dosa, or moha with lopa and moha with dosa. So no one likes the unpleasant feeling. They don't want to be disturbed and so on. They just want to be happy all the time. So one cannot see that because of feeling that one looks for everything in one's life, more and more and more, non-stop. That's why Buddha see the importance of feeling. It's one khanda. Rupa khanda is one, and feeling khanda, vedana khanda, is another one.
So when there is pleasant feeling, for most people, it's usually followed by attachment. And pleasant feeling arises with both, with lopa mulacitta and with kusala. So there can be attachment to the pleasant feeling that accompanies kusala as well.
Later.
And what about when kusala arises with neutral feeling? Can there be attachment?
Later.
And but that time the object is not a pleasant feeling.
Attachment can attach to everything except Lokudranama.
That's what I understand. So but in that case it's not attached to feeling because it's neutral feeling, but attached to something else of the
attachment can attach to anything.
Even neutral feeling.
Yeah. Would you like to sleep? See? No experiencing through the five senses though. It's good. Restful. Everyone just want to sleep.
To sleep, yeah.
See, what does it mean?
The best time is to be sound asleep without any dreams or other things.
But the best time is when you're feeling very sleepy, and that time is very pleasant.
What time?
When we're feeling very sleepy, at that time there's pleasant feeling. So at that time it's
different
not the attachment to not experience, but attachment to the pleasant feeling.
Different moments.
And that pleasant feeling,
which seems to last so long, it doesn't at all. It's so brief and so momentary. Actually, it doesn't last at all, but that's why then there's clinging and wishing to have more pleasant feeling, but it's just a moment only. And at moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, we know no pleasant feeling. At moments of touching, pleasant or unpleasant feeling. And then moments of dosa, no pleasant feeling. So actually pleasant feeling is very brief, but always clinging and wishing to have more pleasant feeling.
I have a question on feeling. Through body sense, all the time, it is either unpleasant bodily feeling, we call it, but it is nama, of course, but caused by body sense, the hardness or the softness, or unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling, one of the two. So it means the whole day when there is touching, but so little. And I find it so difficult to understand. Already there is painful feeling when I do this or that. I don't understand much about a bodily pleasant feeling and their bodily pleasant feeling. Because they are there the whole day.
Can anyone understand or experience citta and cetasika anytime? Even right now? See, it's there all the time, but who knows? So it's not only feeling which is unknown. Everything is unknown. But we are talking in order to experience it. And it's not I, it's Panya, which can begin to understand what are there, but no selection at all. What should be the object of awareness at what time?
And we know that we attach great importance to bodily pleasant feeling, like trying to get the air just right, and some people wanting it colder or warming, or wearing the right clothes, or having the temperature just right.
Yeah.
So actually there's clinging and thinking about pleasant bodily feeling so often during the day. We attach great significance to it.
The bodily painful feeling. Already now there should be painful feeling, but I cannot understand it.
Sorry, why should there be painful feeling? You touch the table and you say there should be bodily painful feeling.
It is either painful or pleasant bodily feeling.
You chose painful for some reason. Because it wasn't pleasant.
But you see that when you say pain, it's not you. It's a feeling.
Yeah, when it is strong.
Whenever you have pain, wherever in the body, you know that it's there.
Yeah.
But no understanding it as just a reality which feels. Mm-hmm. No one feels. No other jetasika can feel. Only that can feel. What object is there as pleasant or unpleasant only.
So, Nina, what you're saying is that often when you're touching something, like softly touching the table, the feeling seems to be neutral,
right,
if anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But it isn't, because for body sense, it's never.
Right. But that just means it's not appearing. It's arising, but it's not appearing.
I don't understand that.
Well, why should it be? Why should it appear? Just because we know there's feeling, we know in theory.
Yeah.
The theory is that there's moments of feeling either, but it doesn't appear.
No, but there's another reality.
We cannot expect to be cognizant of things that don't appear.
No, that's right, because then there is another object appearing. Not all the time, the one through body sense.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, when touching, we know that the three rupas experience, right? Whether the feeling accompanying those chittas appear or not depends on conditions.
Yeah. And then if you say,
here it's not, it doesn't seem to be unpleasant feeling, or what about the pain? It's like trying to, being aware of it again.
Yeah.
So it's the trap of self again, trying to be aware, instead of just understanding dhammas, considering wisely at this moment, but trying to be aware.
But think about when you say that it's hard, what feeling should be. Very hard.
It's very hard and unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're saying it's hard.
At the moment of touching it.
Yeah.
But it does not appear.
Yeah, that's it.
But it's there.
Yeah, it's there.
Because very slight, like a strand of hair, see?
Yes.
Very annoyable.
Right.
But no one thinks that it's the unpleasant feeling.
And also, although what we take for the table, we know it's hardness, but the degree of touching can be light.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean it always appears as painful feeling, touching a hard surface. Because of the, it can be a soft touch.
So it's only unpleasant feeling.
Or pleasant.
For dukkha, unpleasant feeling, not pleasant. It depends on what object is there.
Yes.
That you like and you dislike.
Right.
Like or dislike appear, but
right.
The feeling does not appear.
Degree of pressure can be pleasant or unpleasant.
Even very slight, it can condition unpleasant feeling. Yeah.
Especially if you've got skin peeled off, sensitive part that can experience. And I think Achan was saying, when you say it's hard, she's now talking about the thinking which follows, because otherwise you wouldn't say, oh, it's hard.
Or at that moment of touching hardness, when you say it's hard, the unpleasant feeling is unknown. Until it's pain, then you realize that it's unpleasant.
That's why I said when we touch what we take for the table, we know that what we take for the table is hardness, but the touch may be soft. So it's not necessarily felt as hardness.
And at moment of realizing the feeling, it has to be such like now. When it's so slight, even it's touching, even the object is hardness of softness, the painful feeling or pleasant feeling does not appear so fast.
I understand that feeling is feeling. Pleasant feeling is pleasant feeling. But we also know that the feelings are conditioned by the different chetasikas and the chitta, and depends on the jati. So pleasant feeling through the body sense is different from pleasant feeling through that accompanies the mind door. So that's because of different chetasikas influencing.
What conditions that? Kamma.
Yes, in one case it's kamma.
See, kamma conditioned the unpleasant feeling, because the object's hard. Hmm. A painful feeling. The pain itself is akusala, but the object which is touched is the moment of the result of citta, which is vipaka, experience it.
And the conventional object, there's no specific degree of hardness, because
it has.
For example, water, if you just touch it, it's soft. Mm-hmm. If you fall from a high distance and hit it, it's hard.
Yeah.
So it all depends on the degree of contact between...
Of whatever is there.
Yeah.
And the vipaka citta experienced that. Mm. See, karma, long, long time ago, can condition moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. At any time, when it's right time for it.
We know from experience that a certain temperature feels differently.
So what you mentioned is helpful, that we always think of the conventional idea of table, it must be hard, and the water, that must be soft, but when it is a high distance, it is painful, so we cannot tell really, but we cling too much to the conventional terms. So that is a good point.
It all depends on karma, which conditions vipaka citta at that very moment to experience that particular object. Like touching the cup, there's attachment to the drinking, but at the moment of touching, it's unpleasant feeling at those moments.
But even
as a result of karma,
it's conditioned by karma. See how karma works in daily life, all the time.
How karma is in daily life? Which one?
So at the moment of touching, it's akusala vipaka, a result of karma, because an unpleasant feeling at those moments.
Yes.
Just a result of karma. Mm. But just depends on the citta at that very moment and what exactly the temperature that is experienced at that instant, depending on karma, what vipaka arises and experiences what object.
And I'm reminded of the kind of massage where warm stones are placed on the body. The feeling is said to be pleasant. I haven't experienced it myself, but I could understand that it can be a pleasant feeling.
This is a lot of thinking, but so it would mean that given that someone born in hell is there to receive akusala vipaka, it doesn't matter how hot, he will feel hot.
By conditions, see.
And you won't die,
but
you won't die of heat, exhaustion, or burning.
Sundara said, however hot it gets, it won't cause his death. Unfortunately, fate worse than death.
And this is one kind of khanda, the clinging khanda.
Clinging khanda?
The rupa khanda, the vedana khanda. What is the meaning of khanda? That which arises and falls away instantly. And one clings to all kinds of khandas, but the main is feeling and the rupa. So we think that pleasant feeling is good, but better not to have at all when there's right understanding, because it's not permanent, very, very short. We cling to that which has gone. And Sanya, another Chetasika, remembers everything.
So even in those hell worlds, there is clinging, even though it's very painful.
Clinging to anything.
Mm.
As I. That's why, in order to really eradicate the micchatiti, the wrong understanding of I, it has to be right now very normal. Otherwise, it's not panya.
The other day, Sukhin and I were walking and we were talking about when there's a lot of dosa or when one is complaining a lot, for example, and how it goes on and on and on. And even at those times, even though it's like torturing oneself, there's still attachment in between. Otherwise, it wouldn't carry on with the same story like a stuck record. The person wouldn't go on and on complaining. But so attachment is there, even though it's so unpleasant and there's so much dosa. But still, it's motivated by attachment. Otherwise, impossible to have so much thinking about that story.
One of the universals we haven't talked about, Jivitin Drira, vitality. Can you say something about
and
that?
And Sanya?
Sorry?
Sanya?
No.
I thought the next should be Sanya.
We're just, I think, a Jansa.
About Sanya.
No?
Very, only name, word.
Jan's about to talk about Sanya Kanda.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like feeling, see?
Yes, another Kanda.
Yeah, another Kanda. Very important. Even the feeling so pleasant, without Sanya, yeah. No meaning at all.
Can you say more about that, Ajahn?
Whatever is so pleasant without Sanya is nothing because it's gone. Mm-hmm. No memory about it.
So sanya is essential to be able to cling, you mean?
Sanya, condition, desire, attachment, and whatever.
Mm.
Without sanya, no thinking about it, no thinking about the object of desire or the object of aversion, like in that story. So everything depends on sanya, remembering what is pleasant, remembering what is unpleasant. Clinging, leading to clinging to more and more pleasant feeling.
And the attasanya, see? Memory of self.
Of self.
Wrong understanding is there.
I have not considered enough the connection between pleasant feeling and clinging and sanya. But it is sanya which is the thinking about it and remembering it.
Thinking is another jetasika.
Yeah, remembering.
Another jetasika.
Yeah.
Without sanya.
Yeah, no thinking.
No thinking.
So
yeah.
Sanya is very important, otherwise there wouldn't be any thinking at all.
Could we say that?
Sorry, yeah.
Without sanya, there's no thinking about an object with attachment or aversion. Because it's because there is sanya that remembers.
Sanya that condition the rest jetasikas. Sankhara khanda.
That's in each chetasika, what performing the function in that particular chetasika. But I'm talking in terms of remembering pleasant feelings.
At that moment, I just had this and I like it. At that moment, sanya with other chetasikas, and the other chetasikas are sankhara khanda. They work together. So how many kinds of sanya in Tipitaka? Atta sanya, anicca sanya, nitya sanya, sanya vipalasa, and so on. It's now, unknown all the time. So the teachings is all about realities right now. sanya is at this moment. And the other jetasikas beside the two, the 50 jetasikas are sankarakanda, motivated by sanya and vedana. If there is no such feeling, can there be plan for killing, stealing, or dana, or anything?
So it's very helpful that you emphasize sanya now, because we didn't consider that enough before, how important it is. I find that very helpful.
And I may be wrong, but I remember hearing to the effect that it's because of atasanya that there is no anatasanya, or something to that effect. Or because of atasanya that there is...
There is sanya, but usually it is akusala sanya. So, another word is sanya vipalasa.
It is, anytime it is akusala, it's sanya vipalasa.
When it is ditti vipalasa, when it is ditti with sanya vipalasa, then it is atta sanya. When it's the idea of something.
I've heard the idea of accumulated atasanya. Is there such a thing?
Each is accumulated.
At any moment, like lobha accumulates and the idea of atasanya accumulates.
And that accumulates.
And anatasanya accumulates too.
At that accumulated sanya makes it harder to understand realities.
That's why we stress so much that practice is the wrong path, or idea of something or someone or my feeling is the wrong way, because it leads along the wrong path. It accumulates and it hinders the development of right understanding of reality.
As I understand it, the accumulated atasanya influences the way the world is seen now.
Can you elaborate a little?
Ajahn could elaborate, I'm sure, because I heard that from her.
When it's atasanya, there's ditti at those moments, so it's a wrong understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the world is seen, because it's the idea of the memory of something or someone. It's the idea that actually it's hardness touched at this moment, or being or a person is seen.
And of course, atasanya, as I understand it, can arise at different degrees. So it's like we talk about the asavas that are not apparent, but they are arising all the time. So they influence the way the world is seen.
Is there sanya vipalasa now?
There must be.
If there is a kusala now, there is sanya vipalasa.
Mm-hmm.
So what Jonathan says, the way the world is seen, like the table is hard, a conventional way of seeing the world, or the water that flows, these things, all conventional ideas.
Yes, the ideas of people and things, and the substance that we give to those ideas, that's all part of the accumulated memory we have from the past.
Yes.
Dana.
The asuras don't arise, you said, and they're always in the background. So when
they arise.
They do arise, but...
They arise but are not apparent.
An example, please.
Well, they're arising now, but what's apparent now... I mean, strong attachment can be apparent, but mild attachment not. The kind of attachment
that follows
seeing all the time.
Okay. Yes, yes.
So likewise, the asavas, which include wrong view, are arising and they are manifesting, but they are of a low degree. The high degree of kilesa arising will condition action. Then there's a moderate degree that can appear, but are not conditioning harsh speech or bodily action. And then there's an even more subtle level of kilesas that are arising that are not apparent.
So how many asavas are there?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
7.
Asava.
Oh, look,
not anusaya.
4.
5. Oh, well, come on. Everyone's got to do it. I don't...
Kamasava.
Kamasava. That's sensual clinging?
Yes. Yes. See? Okay. When you say why not, it's that. So all together, what are they?
Kamasava, avijja sava, bhavanasana, ditasava.
What can be understood? Kamasava, clinging all day long to kama, sensual subject.
And the others can't be understood? Is that what you're putting?
Usually indeed. It depends
because they don't arise
person,
as much as clinging.
Whether it's the person who is sotapanna, sakatagami, anagami, or arahata. And pavasava, what's that?
Clinging to becoming.
Mm-hmm. Right now. Don't want to die.
Don't want to die, yeah.
And tidasava?
View. Clinging to views. View of self. Wrong view of anything.
And avichasava is always there.
Ignorance.
When you said usually the kamasava is what can be known, but when we're talking about at the degree of asava, I thought it's the one that isn't known, like
can be
straight
understood.
Can be understood, but not apparent.
All of them are not apparent.
Atasanya, is there Sakaya Sanya? Mm-hmm. Atasanya, back to Atasanya. Is there Sakaya Sanya or is that covered under Atasanya?
There are two words, Atanudidi and Sakaya Didi. 20 Atanudidi and 20 Sakaya Didi.
So there's not a Sakaya Sanya. We talked before about Atasanya.
Different ways to clarify reality by way of asava, by way of...
And the Sakaya Ditti just refers to taking khandhas for someone, for a person, for a being, whereas the Atanu Ditti refers to taking the khandhas for something or someone, so it includes Sakaya Ditti, but taking it for being a cup, rupa, for being something. So the atasanya is taking, at the moment of taking anything for something, that sanya at that moment.
So when there is sakaya, so when there is sakaya ditti, there is atasanya.
Mm-hmm. Ajahn, I'm not quite clear on the difference between attanuditti and sakaya ditti.
This is attanuditti for mm-hmm. me, and this is sakaya ditti. Me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not me.
No.
So she's attanuditti.
And this is attanuditti.
Yeah. Yeah. Something, when there is no something at all. or is nothing.
Atmaniditi is very broad whenever there's an idea of something.
So it's not just the cup, this cup, that cup, it's also the space between, that's also
Atta. Take it for something.
And what it says in the text is without Sakayaditi, without taking this for myself, for being, then no Atta-ditti. So everything, all other kinds of ditti depend on Sakayaditi.
Oh, we can say that this is Atta-ditti and Sakayaditi.
So it's included.
And this is only Atta-ditti.
But can you say that there is more clinging to this
Sakaya,
than that?
Sakaya. So you cling to this more than this.
And that's why, like in the Satipatthana Sutta, it's the rupas of the body that are the object of most clinging that are given. Much more clinging to the rupas here than these rupas.
So, I'm done, Sanya.
When somebody takes their own life because they so hate what's
because
going
of clinging
on for them.
To the self so much.
Right, they've got such strong attachment for things to be another way, that the way it is, they don't like it so much that they kill themselves.
To me and my pleasant feeling again.
To me and everything about me and my pleasant feeling, and that condition such strong dosa when it's not how I would like it to be.
My dosa.
Just now we mentioned bhava tanha. Bhava sava. I wonder if that has any relationship with another, the next Chetasika, Jivitindriya.
Jivitindriya is the Chetasika which keeps that moment alive.
That's really difficult.
Even Chitta experience, but it needs Jivitindriya to keep it alive.
So alive, any nama is alive.
Because of Jivitindriya, the faculty of that Chetasika is Indriya. See, how can we do, know we to do anything, just the understanding or ignorance in the day?
So Pasa cannot contact an object without Jivitindriya.
Otherwise, it would be that which cannot experience.
I was just thinking we've spent a lot of time talking about the seven jetasikas that happen so fast.
Right.
And that we're totally unaware of them. Yeah.
Every moment.
Every moment.
Unknown.
Now.
We just talk about that which is unknown.
Not happens so fast, but happens all day.
In life, in one's life. We use the word chivita in Thai, chivit for life. Comes from chivitindriya. And forget that there must be that jetasika. Otherwise it cannot arise to be that which experience. Finish your seven or not yet?
Chetana.
We have talked about
little
Chetana.
Bit.
Yeah.
We have? Okay. Pasa.
Pasa already. Each moment.
But most of these were just in passing. We haven't talked much. For example, Pasa. Did we talk enough?
Yes, we talked.
What were you
about
doing this morning?
We did? You remember? Okay.
Without Pasa, Chitta cannot experience object at all.
Without Pasa, there won't be this discussion. Without
no being,
all Chetasikas, yeah, there won't be these discussions.
No,
there won't be
life.
Yeah. Briefly.
Is there manasikara now?
There must be.
Yeah. Wise manasikara can condition understanding. Unwise cannot.
Sounds a bit...
Attain the object.
But we are talking about manasikara in the context of the seven universals.
Right.
As they arise.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the term, I heard this also in the morning, to the effect that wise attention conditions understanding. But I thought wise attention refers to attention conditioned by understanding.
Without wise attention, can there be right understanding?
And there's another meaning of manasikara.
Like what?
The jitta.
Pardon?
The jitta, you say? Is that what you have in mind? That the... Yes.
You mean the three manasikara?
Yes.
Aramana, which means object.
Right. And
Aramana patipataka manasikara.
I couldn't
any
name
javana pati pratika, the first.
Right, the jitta that precedes the javana process.
Yeah.
Right? Because that determines whether the jitta is in that process will be kosala.
And viti patipataka manasikara.
You said to me too, come along again next time, because each time there is something new again that we talk about. And it's true.
So it's not important that there's something new that is talked about, but there is, we hear about the same thing and we see, we understand more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like new.
It's like new.
Just to understand this moment as not self.
Just
from the very beginning to the end, just to that point, no self, no,
no
one.
No self. Yeah.
Only reality is Dhamma.
Yeah, yeah.
So no one
who is alone.
No,
no one who is alone.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
I couldn't hear you.
Say it again. I said no one who is alone.
No one who is alone.
Lives alone, because he knows.
Is alone.
I feel often lonely in Holland. So now it's stressed. No one who is alone. The more we understand, the more there is understanding, the less there will be this idea about being alone in my own country.
But actually, there's no one. Yeah. Only different realities, yeah.
That's the point, that's why no one alone, no one here, no one there. No one
you
keep
you
company.
Know, this expression.
Right, let's have a few more.
But I understand.
Right.
That's a reminder.
That's it.
Yeah.
When it comes, I will grab it from you.
She's
waking up. I've been awake there. And listening carefully. The rest of it went quite over my head.
Have we finished the seven universal?
You can repeat.
What about manasikara? Yeah. Very important too. Wise or unwise? Attention.
But the term before we go to wise and unwise cannot
we should not we talk about the one that accompanies seeing, hearing?
Yeah, attend to the object. Attend the object at that very moment, as vipaka, in a very short moment. When it's more, it can be understood. But when it's just a moment, it cannot be understood.
Are you trying to say that when it's javana, which takes the same object again and again,
and even,
it's more?
And even javana, it cannot be known.
It cannot
like javana with moha. For example, if there is a question, what is your attention now? To what? See? What you say is that which attend at that very moment. Mm. While the other moments also have attention.
Mm. Because there's attending to voice, attending to your face,
yes.
Attending to words, attending to meaning.
Mm-hmm. So all the universal cetasika would be wholesome or unwholesome according to other cetasikas which accompany it. Like akusala cetana. See, it's akusala when it's accompanied by akusala thought. And if panya doesn't understand reality right now, can there be the eradication of the idea of self? Impossible. That's why keep on understanding that which appears is that which panya can understand. Otherwise, what can panya understand if not now?
Because ignorance is ignorant of the realities now, and ignorance conditions wrong understanding. So it's only panya which can cure.
For an arhata, after seeing there's no kusala, no akusala, only kriya. It has to be like that for asotapanda, no wrong understanding, no clinging with understanding at all. After seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Quite different from mundane person. By the developed panya only.
So Ajahn says, keep on understanding. I mean, this,
not self.
Yes. So aside from repeating that to this non-self, self.
Non-self, when there's understanding that all dhammas
so I'm
are
always
anatta.
Looking for some technique, but I know there is no technique.
At
That's
all.
The problem. I want to ask the question that I know
the self is
to.
So strong.
So keep on understanding. When someone says, "What's your practice?"
Right understanding.
Right
knows
understanding.
That without understanding, it cannot be the eradication of akusala.
And it's not a practice.
And it's not a practice, exactly.
And not
but,
by self.
Yeah.
But when there is right understanding, that is the practice of the Dhamma.
Yes, 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 I know this, but
so,
I'm just, I don't know what I, there's nothing to ask here, and yet there's
yeah.
a...
So it's occasional.
Yes, it's too occasional. It's too infrequent,
well,
this keep on understanding.
It's
right
as frequent as it can be.
Yes.
Yes.
One would like to increase the frequency. The non-self would like to increase the frequency. And I'm, even though I know there is no way to do it, I keep hoping there will be.
So
something.
It's only moral understanding.
Yes, that's it.
Then now. And how come to have such moral understanding?
How?
Be patient. Be truthful.
But it requires some level of
hearing,
of understanding to even be truthful, to be kind.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. For example, we know that Akusala is not good at all.
Mm.
But see, without Panya, it cannot do anything at all. Only the function of Panya, which sees and understands better and better, and it will lead to less and less attachment. No one can help anyone at all.
But there are conditions for the increase in frequency.
Yes, there are those conditions, but you cannot create them.
That's correct.
I've been trying to grow them in my garden for years. Those conditions.
This
is just a little digression.
That's the way for decreasing frequency.
And one factor of having more understanding.
Yeah, keep your lopa happiness.
Is right friend, Kalyanamitta. Good friend.
And also, this is the point why we're discussing and considering more about the different aspects or details or all those points that were over your head, is because the idea of self is so very deeply rooted, and so it's only by considering more about dharmas in different ways and from different aspects as khandhas or ayatanas or whatever, but just hearing about dharmas in different ways, different aspects, that it really becomes more and more apparent that there really are only dharmas that are conditioned.
I feel confident that it's apparent. I feel complete confidence. That doesn't mean that my actions, speech, and I feel confident in
without the understanding of the five khandhas, there must be I have confidence.
Well, yes, this is a conventional way of saying it. I feel confidence arises frequently.
And as that confidence develops more and more with that understanding, there's less and less thought or idea of, well, how can there be more understanding, or isn't there some way, or how about attending, or all those things?
I know there isn't any more way. I learned that the very first day I met.
So no point in trying to plant it in the garden.
Yes, so it depends on right understanding. Yeah, if right understanding is at stage, it keeps on. It's rare.
Agree.
Instead of saying, just develop understanding, we can also say that at any point in time, in our life, from birth through death, the most important is the development of understanding.
Right. The best thing in life.
So it does not matter if it's any direct
and
understanding.
And that is asankharika. See?
And it's free.
Everything connects from one word to another word, from one reality to another reality.
You just mentioned there, Ajahn, asankharika. Can you speak a little bit more about asankharika?
Different moments. It does mean that one is always more or less. See? It doesn't mean always, but it depends on conditions. For such certain object, to go to the department is sasankarika for me.
To go to the department store.
To the sasankarika.
It just means the interest or
the wish to go is weak, and it needs stronger urging and encouragement.
She doesn't like it really.
So we cannot say that always asankarika or always sasankarika.
I think the point is that even
when it seems quite clear and obvious and there is confidence, but the point is there is so much forgetfulness and so much distraction, as Pina just mentioned to me, and one's thinking about other things all the time, that there has to be a lot of
hearing, considering, sharing, discussing. Otherwise, one's lost in one's usual way of thinking with ignorance and attachment.
And Panya is only at level of confidence, not more than confidence. And confidence, not Panya. So it's same level without Panya.
So in a way, saying that I have more confidence is saying that I have Panya.
Not always.
Huh?
Not always. Because you see,
is it really
there
confidence
can be
at that
more
time?
Confidence and more confidence without Panya.
Confidence without Panya.
Mm-hmm. That's why only confidence, no Panya. It shouldn't be like that.
But that is the confidence in kusala, other kinds of kusala, or just confidence
just
in
different moments, like confidence in the teachings. That's
okay,
all.
Right.
No study, no hearing, no considering anymore.
I mean, yeah, obviously we open a book. It's not all the time there's understanding, but it's sometimes conditioned by confidence.
And we talked before about how confidence grows with understanding.
Right. So it can be satindriya. See? Even one characteristic of our reality, it depends on condition and jetasikas which arise with it. When confidence arises with panya, it's not the same as confidence without panya. And when it's asankarika, it's different from satsankarika. So many differences from moment to moment by conditions. This is the way to have less and less clinging to the idea of self. No one at all. No matter what level of understanding.
And I think you made some comment about faith, like if we read about the Buddha's wisdom, or someone may say if one's studying about the details of the chetasikas that arise with the citta, and they'll say, oh, well, that's just some sort of faith, like it's not really any understanding. But because there is understanding of certain aspects that are proved to be true, like it's proved to be true that actually there is only visible objects seen now, no one there at all, and other aspects become clearer and clearer and understanding develops, so that there is more and more confidence that even those details which are not directly known but must be right, because there's more and more confidence that what the Buddha taught is correct.
We hear the same word, all of us. So what is wise manasikara? Does it arise? See? When panya is there, it's because of wise attention to what is heard.
And also at that moment is different degrees of faith.
So
in accordance to
manasikara arises with each moment. Even at moment of hearing, thinking, considering. When it's wise, it conditioned panya. Who knows whether there will be tomorrow? Wise attention.
Little by little.
Yes.
I think by having confidence in the Buddha's teaching, it gives you, it supports patience to listen carefully and consider a little by little.
And condition in...
It encourages patience.
Yeah. But whether it's with panya or not.
But it also encourages, by having that confidence in the teachings, it enables you to listen, to have patience, to listen.
And because of panya is there, it knows that not enough confidence yet.
And little by little,
right,
it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also say that just as wise attention conditions panya, the panya also conditions more wise attention.
Mm-hmm. So what can one do? See, it depends on conditions all the time. Whether to have more confidence with Vanya or not more, at wise attention.
And it's like concentration or other mental factors, sometimes stronger or weaker or more or less apparent, like no one knows anything about the attention at the moment of seeing or hearing, but when there's attending, like now, even though it's not awareness of the reality itself, it's more apparent still because it's stronger and the characteristic is more apparent.
Do you attend to cooking? See?
Yes.
Do you attend to painting?
Walking on the pathway with one's bare feet.
That's why different people have different experiences by attention, manasikara. One is experienced in this and what the other experienced in that according to manasikara. Kunina is experienced in writing manasikara.
I think that leads to another chetasika, but not a universal one, but that leads to considering another chetasika, not one of the universals, but one of the, that arises with all kinds of chitta, not all kinds, but with a lot of chittas. The one which Vincent has been asking about, pitaka, because when you say attention, it's because of attention that people have different interests. It's also because of vitaka that people think about different things. Can we talk about vitaka?
Yes. When will vitaka chetasika arise? It does not arise with seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, but as soon as it arises, follows the seeing. It needs vitaka because it does not see, but it experiences the same object which is seen, which needs vitaka. It's not thinking in terms of this or that, people and things, but actually it's there. Even the rupa which is experienced hasn't yet fallen away. So we can see the different moment. Only 7 chetasikas, or it needs more, another one. Also with vijara, they arise together usually.
So when vitaka arises with receiving consciousness, for example, it's not thinking.
It touches the object.
Touches the object.
Otherwise it cannot receive or it cannot experience the same object.
So when we talk about thinking, we're not really exactly saying that vitaka is thinking.
Because at thinking there is vitaka.
And there are other chetasikas also.
It always has no matter arising with sampatichana, santirana, or chittas in the mind or process. It always has the same function of touching the object. So at those moments of thinking in the mind or it still has the same function, touching the object. Just the same.
So when we talk about thinking, what we understand conventionally by thinking, we're referring to chitta.
Yes, yeah. I usually do that, but also we translate vitaka as
right thinking.
Thinking? What? Applied thinking?
Or no? Or some.
Sometimes it's
samma sankappa.
Applied thinking and sustained thinking. Mm.
So
that's just for lack of a better term.
For lack of better term, but it's a term that they choose. So I'm wondering whether it's more than just touching.
It always touch. For example,
only touch.
Yes, for example, the Eightfold Path.
Ajahn, does the samasankalpa, the sankalpa imply determination? It's just purely still vitakka thinking, right? Touching.
Accompanied by different jetasikas, but touching is touching.
Right. Okay. Because I read about or heard about the other translation that sankalpa also implied determination.
To what?
To be enlightened. So no, it's not. Okay.
It, without
samasankalpa, the samadhiti, the right understanding, cannot experience the object. So the samasankalpa, the vitakka cetasika, is necessary to help mount the object.
Okay.
So it arises together to support the right understanding to experience that object,
which is nibbana, or
at the moment of enlightenment, right. It is right. Nibbana, but at the moments of satipatthana, it is whatever reality is the object.
Okay.
Yes, we've also seen samasankalpa translated as right intention, but we don't feel that's an appropriate translation at all.
Yes, yes, very confusing. Yeah. But as you say, right thinking is just as
confusing, so it's...
So, Vincent, you're wondering that there is ekagata concentration, there's manasikara attention, and there is vitakka touching. You were asking after those two, we were discussing those two, you wanted to talk about vitakka. Do you have any particular reason?
The reason is the attending the object or fixed. Like ekagata has fixed attention on the, or when we say fixed, right? Fixed on the object or touching the object. The three seems to me have similar function that toward the object. Or some similarity and also some difference. I just want to be more clear about the similarity and the difference.
Well, the similarity is that each nama, each are chitta-sika, each rise and fall away with the chitta. That's the similarity. But the function of focusing on the object, the function of attending to the object, and the function of touching the object are actually three different functions. Now, we don't understand that, but we hear. And we can maybe perhaps understand intellectually.
For example, if I look straight and there are two cups here, and for some reason I see the further cup over there, is that manasikara or vitakka?
Why should it be either?
So there is
attending at that moment, so it depends on what is attended to, and there is the ekagata that focuses on what is seen at that moment, but the vitakka is there at that moment of making it possible for that experience to occur. It has to touch the object in order that they can be attending to exactly what is experienced, what is thought about at that moment.
Whether you look at one cup or the other, there's still the same mental factors arising, performing their function. So it's only in the context of a moment that they arise and perform their functions, right? So if we look in one direction and see something else, it's not a factor of those particular mental factors. There are other conditions from the past. Yeah. And our accumulated tendency, because one might be of a color that we find more attractive, for example. So that's instinctively go towards it. It could be... I don't think we can say it's one or the other. I don't think we can specify it's a particular jhana seeker.
And what we can
because it could be habitual, for example.
And what we can just say is actually what is seen is just visible object. And because of sanya, there is marking different objects, different shapes, and then there is thinking about different objects with the support of those different chaitta seekers. But if we try to work out exactly what is what, then it's like trying to catch or be aware again. So one's in danger of following a wrong practice of trying to catch or trying to know exactly. So at that moment, one forgets it's just thinking and doubt.
Trying to work out at a very minute and detailed level what is happening. That is not development of understanding. And studying these things as we are at the level of book knowledge cannot enable us to make those kind of judgments or it's just speculation.
Understanding
more about dharmas doesn't mean trying to work out one's own experience, otherwise it's just more clinging to the self.
What is the difference between other cittas and this 10 vipaka citta, which is two of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching?
What are the differences? The 10 only have 7 universal cittasika, and the other.
So there must be the difference.
The difference
between the 10 and the others.
Right.
And it's not known, but when the understanding is there that it just see, how can there be thinking or other jhetasika with it right then? So they are the weakest moment, but bring about lots of kilesa or panya or whatever. But the 10 themselves are very weak.
Right.
Just see, just hear. Only sound is experienced directly. But sampaticchana, that which follows, cannot see, cannot hear, just experience the same object because of vitakka. Not only pasa, but also touching it.
And that's why those ones only
need 7 chaitta seekers, but when it comes to thinking, then it needs more, and because they are stronger, and so it needs more and more support to experience the object.
Forgetting that all the 7, all the 10 citta is gone, but the story of all about what is seen is there so much in a day, in one's life.
Right.
But seeing, hearing self, that is just a moment, which is so very, very weak. Just see, no more than that. No thinking, no touching, conditioned by karma.
Right.
So why do we cling so much to the stories after the seeing and the hearing? We find it so important.
Because of ignorance, not knowing that it's just a moment.
Yeah.
And what appears as a moment of seeing is nimitta of seeings. Okay. So... this is the great virtues of the Buddha, Buddha Anusati again. It can have less attachment by knowing that seeing is just for a moment. But ignorance is the condition, thinking a lot about shape and form and things, people all around.
Yeah, all the time.
So panya can see more ignorance and more akusala. That's why panya can eradicate attachment with avicca from moment of developing the path.
right path of understanding, bigger, better, greater, to be able to experience whatever Buddha taught as it is. All dhammas are anatta. If there is no experiencing the arising and falling away of any reality, how can there be the elimination of the idea of self or things?
So, Chan, you're saying that when ignorance is eradicated, when there is no ignorance, there cannot be attachment.
Arahata.
No. There cannot be attachment.
No kilesa at all. So only, not all avicca is eradicated at once. Little by little, stage by stage, from hearing, considering, developing, until panya of different degrees arise.
And because the sotapanna still has ignorance, that's why there's attachment to sense objects.
But no more idea of self. But still, there is attachment to sensuous object, very deep.
You must be tired.
Listening.
Listening.
I forget.
Otherwise, she will listen to other things.
I have such a good opportunity to listen and hear so many things which are worth considering.
I have a question about
karma, and we're talking about karma and patisandhicitta, and we also read about how when karma produces patisandhi and other vipaka jitas during life, at that time of producing the patisandhi, the karma conditions it not just by karma pachya, but that karma, that chetana, also conditions it by pakatu upanisya pachya, by natural decisive support condition. Would you say a little bit more about how the karma that is karma pachya at that time also is pakatu upanisya pachya for that patisandhi to arise?
Karma is always revealed.
Always?
Revealed. Oh, excuse me, covered up.
Covered up.
Mm-hmm. Who knows this moment, what karma condition in what life?
Right.
See?
Or what, who knows at this moment, the karma, the understanding, the karma will condition what result, you mean? Or the result now, what karma it was.
There must be karma which conditioned this moment of vipaka,
yes,
for sure. But who knows from when?
From when. But when we read, for example, when we read that the karma that conditioned this result, this seeing or this hearing now, that karma was also pakatu upanisya pachya for this result now.
That one which is ready to produce result.
Right, just means
so
that
it's pakatu upanisya.
So it's just
pakatu upanisya
because it was accumulated to bring the result at this time.
Such a certain time.
At a certain time. Mm. But we could say that just that karma or other realities were also the condition for the vipaka citta by pakatu upanisya pachya, or
as
just
much
that
as one can know, very little from the very beginning, even right now. What is seen is apachya, forgetting about that. Mm. See?
And we can just say that seeing is conditioned by karma and pakatu upanisya pachya and just other conditions,
mm-hmm,
that's all.
Yeah. Even citta is the factory of experiencing, it cannot arise without aramana pachaya, the object of seeing right now.
And the aramana is pachaya, not aramana pachaya, also pakatu upanisya pachaya. the aramana is also
how can there be pakatupa without aramana?
There cannot be.
But the aramana itself
is not the pakatupa nisya pachya, but in order to experience the object, there must be pakatupa nisya pachya at that moment. Because at that moment...
Yeah. You mean for the same consciousness?
For example, at the moment of seeing a visible object, for that seeing to experience a visible object, the seeing has to have been conditioned not just by karma, but also paktu upanisya pachya.
And visible object is...
Aramana pachya.
And also pakatupanisya pachya.
Different.
No.
Visible object can never be the pakatupanisya pachya.
At that moment when it's seen, it
cannot.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain pakatu? That's natural decisive support. So, does it?
It's a very broad condition. So, we know, for example, when lobha accumulates now or panya accumulates, the habit accumulates, this is because of pakatupanisya pachya, natural decisive support condition, and that's why that habit continues on and on. Like if one's in the habit of complaining, that habit accumulates, or if there's panya now, that's how panya develops by this condition. But we also know that actually even for vipaka cittas to occur like patisandhi or other vipaka cittas, it would be impossible without pakatu upanisya pachya supporting that karma to bring that result. But when we're talking about the result, or we're talking about, for example, we're talking about the seeing and we're talking about the aramana that's seen, we're talking about the aramana as being the object condition, so we're not talking about it as being the pakatupanisya pachya.
Can you give a few examples about what might be the pakatupanisya pachya for seeing?
For
seeing.
Well, this is what I was
asking about karma, so the karma that conditions seeing, the chaitana that conditions seeing of that degree that it brings a result, has also been accumulated to that degree that it can bring that result. So that result is actually being conditioned also by pakatu upanisya pachya, by that chaitana that has been accumulated. So it's not just one moment of chaitana that intends to kill or harm, but there are countless chaitanas that have been accumulated to that degree by pakatu upanisya pachya. So it also conditions karma to bring its result, but it's not an easy area to understand.
That's an understatement.
What would you like to see?
Yes, yeah.
Pardon?
Yamaka Patiharia.
Where? Here?
Why not? What happened?
Or somewhere that can be seen. See? Depending on many bhajaya.
So what is seen or what is heard now doesn't just
depend on karma, but many other factors. Past habits, past interests.
Yeah, what one likes seeing.
Past surroundings.
And what is tasted at lunchtime, what is tasted depends on karma, but many other factors as well.
May, manasikara.
Manasikara.
Yeah.
And the touching condition
by karma and pakatu upanisya pachya.
Mm-hmm.